537-1350, 866-776-1350 if you want to come on the show. I know we got a caller there that didn't want to come on air. Hey, man, I know Mitch loves talking with you, but you can step into the ring if you'd like. I would encourage you to step into the ring.
I wouldn't.
If you disagree, 537-1350. The game KMAN, too, if you'd rather shoot off a tweet. That's fine with me, too. We'll get to Brad Underwood here in a second. I don't think we disagree quite as much as I thought we did on what Underwood to Illinois means when we set out to do this. But I did just want to clarify something with that. But first, how about something positive? Huh? Something positive?
What do you got?
Because I'm always the negative guy, right? So let's bring something positive to the floor. I did attend the K-State women's game on Monday against Stanford. I would have gone to the Drake game, but I had a wedding. So I fulfilled my promise to one Brian Smoller to show up if they won, and I did. And even though, obviously, the game got away from them and it was not what we were all hoping for, I'm glad that I went. I'm glad I got a chance to go see them in person. I wish I would have done it throughout the year more, quite honestly, because I really enjoy watching that team play. I really enjoy – I mean, like Kindred Wiesman, we were talking about that at the game. I have loved watching her play, and I love her attitude and how she goes about things, and very fun to watch. All the respect in the world for her and just everybody on that team. So I'm glad that I went.
I mentioned yesterday how impressive it was that she was on the bench with a minute left, you know, taken out of her final game. It's a blowout, and she's telling her teammates to keep their hands up on defense and where to distribute the ball on the offensive end of the floor. That's just amazing leadership.
They don't quit. They got down big. Like, they were not quitting. The enthusiasm was still there. Crown did a nice job with that, too, all the way around. Like, I was impressed and have always been impressed. And it's not like these comments from Jeff Mitty after the game, like, made me think, oh, my gosh, this guy's a total stud. It's been pretty obvious for a while that Jeff Mitty's a stud. And I really appreciate the job that he's doing, and I think he's a great coach. But I was so taken aback and impressed by his comments here. This is kind of long, but he started talking after the game about how, well, you were there. You can attest to this probably better than I can. I've just seen the audio soundbite here, but about how beat up the team was, and in particular Kindred Wiesman, and just went on and on, and I love what he had to say.
Yeah, and it wasn't even that much in response to an actual question. He wanted everyone to know just how tough his team was down the stretch of the season. And Mitch, a guy that has been around the program the entire year, you said that you only missed like one home game this year. Even you didn't know all of these little things that were going on, and really showed how the women's program is not about accepting any excuses.
Nope, not a clue. Because, and I'll tell you why. It's because it really didn't seem like they've missed a step all year long. They didn't act like they were hurt. They didn't change the way they played.
No, and I talked to Brian Smoller at baseball yesterday a little bit about it, too. He gave me some more insight about it, and it just had me more impressed. But here is what Jeff Mitty had to say about the team, how beat up they were, and how there were no excuses.
Most players in the country wouldn't have played today or the other day. That elbow of hers will probably require surgery. She's lived every moment in that training room just to get to today. And she's not the only one. This is the most banged up team I've had that we didn't talk about. We didn't talk about any injuries. Most of you guys that are around here, you don't even know what I'm talking about. You don't even know. You don't even know because, one, we're not too much allowed to talk medical. But from the standpoint of some of the players that battled through things all year long, we could have had players that weren't even in this game. Kindred Wieselman has absolutely. Brianna Lewis has done the same. When you talk about the maturation, that stuff's going to be really hard to replace. When you talk about down the road, I mean, the will to play in these two games, those guys, they have lived there. People ask me about the break. We were fortunate we had the break because they could not have they've been in there 24/7. So those are the things that when you talk about the culture and you talk about replacing things, we can find a three-point shooter. We can find a center. Can we find the commitment, the sacrifice, all those things? Well, that's what we're looking to do.
I will be your three-point shooter. I will run through a wall for you right now, Jeff Mitty, after hearing that. That was my reaction to hearing that. There's three things I love about that. One, first things first, let's start, no excuses. I mean, to be that banged up, and with a lot of those girls banged up and dealing with a ton of things, and it goes beyond even just, this is a little extra insight I gained, and I'm not going to divulge anything, but like it goes beyond just those two players. And stuff that dates back to the beginning of the season. Like, you never heard that. There was never excuse-making from this team, and they went on and still achieved at an extremely high level for this program and where the program is at. And you can tell that that is the culture. Point number two, that not only are they not making excuses here, and Jeff Mintie never did to anybody in the media, but you can tell that that is a part of the culture. He mentions, I think I cut it out from the beginning of the clip, or maybe it was in there, but he says, like, I asked Kindred about this before I went and said it. Like, he even goes to double-check with her and make sure it's okay to say it after her season is over, her career is over, to talk about the elbow injury that was severely limiting her over the last 3-4 games. That is a culture of toughness that they have created there, and you can just hear it oozing out of that sound clip.
Yeah, we talked about it a lot yesterday. Mitch and I were in the locker room after the game, and it was like going into a walk-in freezer because of all of the ice packs that the players had on different parts of their bodies, and it was just crazy. I had no idea that they had that much that they were dealing with, and to still make it to the second round and finish fourth in the Big 12, it was just a great effort by everyone involved.
No, you're totally right. As soon as I walked in, that's the first thing I noticed was all the ice that was being used. And when we walked in there, the trainer was still working with players, trying to get ice on those elbows and those knees. And it made me feel bad for him because Jeff Mintie, he said, I don't know if he said it in that clip, but he definitely said during the press conference how the break between the conference tournament, the Big 12 tournament, and the selection show, they really needed that break because yes, they needed time to rest.
Yeah, I think that is completely obvious. And he had a chance to say that on our airwaves, by the way. We had him on during that break. And I remember the first question we asked him was, what's it been like having to deal with this week-long break? And he, no mention of it at all. He did not use that opportunity. So the no excuses thing and the culture that he has created, I love. And on top of that, the other thing, and this is a fine line, and it's a fine line to walk. I think you'll understand what I'm saying, between having a culture of no excuses and then at the same time really sticking up for your players. He's also in this really sticking up for his players because they went out and, you know, had a lot of people there for that game, and it was a disappointing game. It got away from them pretty early, pretty quick against Stanford. And in a lot of ways, this is saying, hey, look, yeah, things didn't go the way that we wanted to tonight, but we beat a great Drake team the other night. Kindred was still hurt. Like, we did a lot of great things because these players have created just such a great culture. I mean, he is crediting the players while still maintaining just this no excuses attitude with a complete culture of toughness. Like, I just love everything about that.
And top 30 recruiting class coming in.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, that's another part of the Jeff Mintie, another piece of that puzzle that we haven't gotten into. I mean, he's recruiting like a madman, too. So, I mean, the future is so bright, I think, for that program and for the seniors that just finished there. But that really caught my attention. I just wanted to make it a point to get that out there here on the show. I certainly had my attention caught by Brad Underwood going to Illinois. And basically the point that I wanted to get across here is that ship is off in the distance, my friends.
We just spent 10 minutes trying to be happy about something. All right, let's go back to the negativity. Let's do it.
Because I saw on – I didn't even get a chance to listen. I meant to earlier today, and I apologize for that. But I saw in your outline yesterday before I left for baseball, one of the segments was why – Underwood going to Illinois might not be all that bad for K-State. I couldn't really disagree more. I mean, I guess I don't know that it makes a giant difference one way or the other, but I think it does make it a higher hurdle to clear if that were ever going to happen. And it also just sets it to a point where you say, look, he may come back in 5-10 years, Bob Huggins type of thing. Circumstances change. He may get fired on down the line. A lot of different things could happen. But in the near future, that ship has sailed, and you do need to forget about that because he's got a bigger buyout. It's $8.4 million.
$7.3 million.
No, first year's eight. First year's eight.
Well, okay.
First year's eight, my friend. It goes 8.76. It is a much more daunting financial hill to climb because not only that, but he's also making $3 million a year now as opposed to the one that he got paid this past year at Oklahoma State or the 2.2 that they counteroffered when they were negotiating. Now, all of a sudden, you're not only going to have to pay a bigger buyout, you're also going to have to up his salary even more to conceivably, you know, $3.5 million, $4 million a year. There is a bigger financial cost than just what the buyout is. He's also now, by the way, at what I would consider a slightly better job with more upside than Oklahoma State, because if he does succeed and you're trying to go get him 2-3 years down the road and he's succeeding, that means that they're going to be tapping into Chicago. They're going to be using the resources of being the one major school in the state. Like, he will be on to bigger and better things. And it hurts a lot of people, I think, to hear, but that to me was just painful because you knew he was available and the house wasn't in order here to make it happen. But also, it means he's sort of stair-stepping back up, and it got tougher to get him. That wall just got higher. I just don't think it's going to happen.
I'm certainly not advocating for K-State fans to drive on out to the Manhattan airport and wait, because any day now, any second now, Underwood's coming into town. I mean, I think that it's not very realistic to expect that to happen within the next, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 years, as you said. But as far as the long term, I think that there can be some benefits to it. It is easier to leave for a school that isn't in your conference than a school that is. He had made so many comparisons between Oklahoma State and K-State, how similar the two are with how they go about things and being in the same state with the bigger school and the one that's closer to the bigger recruiting base, all of those things. And plus, like I said yesterday, the buyout is really big and really daunting, but it will be smaller by the time it would be more realistic anyway. And even if it's more than $6 million, if K-State was ever going to come up with the $6 million for Oklahoma State, I don't think that they would have stopped there. I think that they'll go ahead and get whatever amount they would need to get. And I looked at it like if you're buying a TV and you've got a budget of $400, but there's a really nice TV for $450, you're going to find a way to get the extra $50. But again, next 3 or 4 years, don't expect it to happen. I definitely feel, though, that the odds are not 0% that he'll ever coach at K-State.
Well, I mean, I don't either, but I think you're looking at a decade down the road, 5-10 years down the road, again, some kind of circumstance. He gets fired is probably the most likely thing there, like has some success, then tails out. I mean, it's hard to come up with the scenario, but I'm not going to totally discount it at some point in time. But I think you make too little out of the financial hill to climb, especially considering there were just a bunch of budget cuts on the university side of things. I mean, for right now, people talking about the $6 million buyout, that was going to be a tough sell, I think, PR-wise anyway. Just add, you know, a couple more million dollars up front on top of it, and then more millions of dollars in the contract that's going to be tied up because he's now making a bigger salary. I don't think you can just push that to the side and say, hey, it's like spending an extra $50 on a TV. I think that is minimizing, you know, what's going on there. The one thing I would say, the one thing that I came up with where I can side with you and see what the point would be on maybe it makes it more likely, I think it's more likely he's fired in 3 years at Illinois than it would have been at Oklahoma State. Illinois, without being super familiar with their roster, I wouldn't think it's in as good a position as what Oklahoma State had. And Juwan Evans had said after the tournament he's probably going to come back. Now he's going pro. But it sounded like he was going to stay when he thought that Brad was still going to be his coach. Like, they were set up to have some success, and I don't think he was getting fired.
They've got 7 freshmen on that roster.
Like, Illinois, he could go there and things could go south because they're not in the greatest of spots right now, and it's tough to recruit Chicago. And, look, I think we're all pretty familiar, based on circumstance here in Manhattan, with what some of the issues are at Illinois. I think there's a better chance he would be fired, like, in 3 years. But then, at that point, do you want him? You know what I mean? So, I don't really see how it's anything but just made it more difficult for this to ever happen here by him going to Illinois. We got You Can't Be Serious at 5:50, but coming up next, who should you bet on in the NCAA tournament? In particular, I'm curious for her thoughts on the John Kurtz Bowl, which is Frank Martin v. Scott Drew, Baylor in South Carolina. Kelly in Vegas next here on The Game.